and second-degree aggravated assault while eluding. And after the state moved to detain him, he asked for an adjournment to obtain discovery and subpoena police officers to testify. The trial court denied his request, and after reviewing the complaint, the affidavit of probable cause, and other documents, and the attorney's arguments, the trial court concluded that a clear and convincing evidence supported the defendant's detention. And then the appellate division on appeal, the appellate division affirmed, ruling that the trial court had not abused its discretion in denying the defendant's request to call adverse witnesses. So during the pendency of the appeal, the defendant pled guilty, and the court declined to dismiss the appeal as moot, finding that it raised an issue of public importance, capable of repetition, yet evading review. And the court ruled that the Criminal Justice Reform Act permitted defendants to compel adverse witnesses to testify at their pretrial detention hearings. However, the court held that before calling an adverse witness, a defendant was obligated to proffer the witness and what the anticipated testimony would be, how that anticipated testimony would be relevant to the issue of probable cause, and how it would negate the state evidence in support of probable cause. So the court therefore concluded that the defendant had a qualified right to call witnesses, and the Supreme Court also concluded that a trial court decision to deny a defendant's request to compel an adverse witness was reviewable under the abuse of discretion standards. So, anyway, I've kind of gone over time. I'm here with the first sports guy who's come in, Bill Wolfson, and I think we'll not play news at this point because I did play the news and I played it a couple times because, believe it or not, Bill, I could not play any of the commercials. I've now been able to figure that. Well, something was not connected correctly. It's now been corrected. We're back on, and here we are, Bill Wolfson, Pat Smits, and we're hoping for two more people to join us as the sports guys. Hope so, because, you know, I think it's a little too early with this kind of heat to be talking about football, and you know me and baseball, not much.
Well, that's too bad, because it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is right here, Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio. I'm Bill Wolfson, and it's a sizzling afternoon here on Friday, the last Friday in June, and we've got a bunch of sizzlers coming up at Yankee Stadium, the Red Sox being hosted by the Yankees. And tonight, we have the Yankees left-hander, C.C. Sabathia, the wily oldster, who always looks like he's wearing pajamas, matched up against Eduardo Rodriguez, who's 9-2 with a 3.86 earned run average. Saturday at 7:15, so you can beat some of the day's heat. We have a up-and-down Sonny Gray pitching against one of my favorite Red Sox pitchers, left-hander Chris Sale, who bears a 7-4 record and a 2.56 earned run average. And then the ultimate match, I think the real primo match of this series.
Well, let me just say,
Sunday, 8:05, right-hand pitcher Luis Severino, the Yankees' best pitcher this year. He's 12-2 with a 2.10 earned run average. Facing off against left-handed pitcher Dave Price, who's 9-5 with a 3.66 average. At 8 o'clock on ESPN. That's going to be the national game, Pat.
Well, Bill, and I think we should wait to see if John makes it today, because I know if it's Red Sox, Yankees, he definitely wants to say something.
I think John's on ice, isn't he, in Iceland?
No, he's back.
He's back.
So,
holy smokes.
But what I wanted to say, and when you talked about the sizzler, all I could think about was back in the day when everybody went to ball games, men with suits and hats, and the women who would wear, you know, dresses and, of course, nylon stockings. Maybe they weren't called nylon stockings at the time. Hose, I think they were called. But and heels, and they would dress up. And today, the biggest thing that everybody needs to remember to bring is sunscreen. Because you know, people will be
hot.
Getting really burned. And of course, it, you know, if you're wearing your baseball cap, you will have a very interesting sunburned face when you go to work on Monday and you don't wear your baseball cap.
That's right. And you know, the interesting thing also is way back when people got dressed up to go to ball games in coats and ties, even the President of the United States would keep his jacket and tie on, especially if he threw out the first ball or something like that. But nowadays, you know, we're a whole lot more casual. Clothing is a whole lot skimpier. It's summertime, folks, and the living should be easy. But keep that sunscreen on, because, boy, is it hot. It's got to be heaven for all those dermatologists out there. But, you know, we've got some great baseball coming up. But if we're waiting for John, and we could be waiting for John for a long time, because, as you know, John is a very fair man. He always gives us a chance to get a word in edgewise, Pat, by showing up late. But, you know, England tied and Belgium tied last night. They played a very dull game from what I've heard and the few bits I've seen. And now we're in the round of 16 in Russia for the World Cup. And for those of you who like watching guys from other countries run around in their underwear and sneakers, this is the sport for you.
Come on.
The rest of the world seems to really love this game.
Oh, this is very exciting because it's very fast. And, you know, the one thing that people from other countries will say when they watch football, it's so slow. I mean, it's slow by the way the game is played, but it's even made slower, of course, with commercials. And it must be interesting to see how they're dealing with the commercials.
You know, England's going to face Colombia Tuesday night, and that should be an interesting matchup because Colombia is hot and ready. England wants to push, and they're going to be playing one of their interesting players, Harry Kane, who is what they call a striker or forward, and he's fun to watch because of his speed and his skill with the ball. It'd be interesting to see whether the bookies have England over Colombia. I haven't checked yet.
Well, you know, it is interesting because you would think, with all the English influence in this country, that somehow, you know, soccer's big in England, along with cricket, if anybody can understand it. But, you know, that never translated. I mean, now we have a lot of kids playing soccer, but that's really very recent, or fairly recent, I should say.
Yeah, well, remember, this is a knockout game. England lost 1-0 to Belgium, I stand corrected, at the game. There were some great plays, but unfortunately, the UK came up shorthanded. The interesting thing will be, as we get deeper into this, how well Russia plays and how well Colombia plays, and the Germans are knocked out for the first time in many, many years. And this is the first time England's lost to Belgium since 1936, so
Wow. There's
a lot to be said for that. Meanwhile, Pat, what are you doing to stay cool in this heat? Are you jumping in your pool?
Stay in the air conditioning. Haven't been in it yet. Hopefully this weekend.
That would be great. I like pools, other people's pools.
Yeah, that makes sense, believe me.
Trust me.
I like.
I know people who like boats, but other people's boats.
Yeah, that's. I was just about to say, yeah. Bill. Guess what? Yeah. You can come to my pool if I can come to your boat.
Anytime, Pat.
Because I have a feeling, although I'm not the pool boy at my house, you know, that's a job that's Dave's job. At,
well, that's good. I think that. You know, my sister-in-law has a pool, and for 2.5 months, she's in it every morning and then again every evening, and that's great, but all she does is sort of sits there and floats around in the water and swims back and forth a little bit. And, you know, I think that if you're going to have a pool, you need music. You need someone to bring you something good to drink about every 2 hours.
Well, the other thing, and I will say that we did not build the pool at our house. It was there. But we used it a lot when our grandkids were little. I mean, we'd live somewhere else when our children were little. And in fact, this weekend, I think they're coming up. But now that they're older, you know, they don't come up as often. However, it's interesting, they now have a new dog, and the dog, you know, loves our house because we have a lot of property, so the dog can run, and they've even convinced the dog that he's not terribly afraid of the pool. So they've been back like little kids this year a couple times, and Sunday, you know, I think that's the only place, you know, to be. And by Sunday, maybe the pool will be warm enough, because one of the things I don't like is cold. I don't like to swim in cold water.
I don't like to swim in cold water either, and I've been in some cold, icy pools. I can tell you that I had the unfortunate experience of once falling through the ice into the Hunterdon Central Pond, which fortunately was only 4 feet deep, and boy, is that cold.
Well, you were fortunate, because that's always one of the things that every once in a while I'll see people, and I don't know why we're talking about it, 100-degree weather, and we're talking about the ice.
Well, I'm feeling a whole lot cooler just talking about ice right now.
But, you know, it's very foolish when people walk out on Round Valley Reservoir.
Yeah.
And I've seen it. And, you know, it's rare that Round Valley gets really that you could walk on it. I've only seen it frozen, really frozen, over a couple times. And, of course, what people don't realize is, yes, you were more than 4 feet tall, and you were able to get out. But the problem is, if you go down,
you don't come back up.
You don't come back up where that hole is.
That's right.
And that's now what you can do until, but the water's so cold you won't be able to survive long. You know, there is a little air pocket right under the ice, right above the ice. No, right under the ice. Right under the ice before
the
water.
I
had plenty. But there is a little air pocket. But the problem is, we dumped out in April, and it was so cold, you know, you're just going to not be able to swim, even if you do get up. But I know that that's, I bet you were a little more careful after that one.
Oh, most definitely. And it was extremely embarrassing, because Hunterdon Central had a field house where they had a fire, and unfortunately, the town policeman was there, and he helped me get out of the ice. We ran off to the field house, where there was a roaring fire going. I had to take off all of my wet clothes and dry them in front of the fire and wear the policeman's overcoat. And, you know,
how old were you at that time?
Oh, I think I was 14. And, you know, there's nothing more embarrassing than being a shivering, nude 14-year-old boy in front of a bunch of older high school girls who were there to skate and flirt with boyfriends. They didn't flirt with me, but they thought it was all hysterical. I was too mortified to go to school that Monday and pretended I had the flu. But on Tuesday, I showed up, and all the, I'll call it buzz, caught up with me. It was a little tough to live that down. But, you know, life goes on, and you just got to be tough in this world. Meanwhile, I see that Janae Winston got suspended for 3 games because of inappropriate conduct towards his female Uber driver. So we're going to have Ryan Fitzpatrick starting for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the first 3 games. Additionally, folks, if you have a chance, both the Giants and the Jets training camps are going to be, facilities are going to be giving tours every weekend until the players have to report on the 27th or 28th of July. So that's kind of a neat thing to do, to go up to Madison or up to the Meadowlands where the Giants play, or Madison where the Jets play, and get the tour of a very nice training facility. You might even get to see some of the players in preseason workouts.
So that's very interesting. What do people have to do in order to make those arrangements? Just show up?
You simply have to call up the front office and say you'd like the tour, and they tell you when they're going to run the tours. Usually it's late afternoons or Saturday mornings, and sometimes even Sunday mornings. It's kind of a lot of fun. years ago, when the Jets first opened their facility up in, I think it's Madison.
Yeah, it is Madison. It's right near Morristown.
Yeah, exactly.
It's right near.
It's not far from the airport.
It's very close to the Morris County Airport, and I think it.
Easy to get.
It's either considered Morristown or it could be considered Madison. I don't think it's Chatham, but in any event, it's very easy to find.
It is. It's brand new. We saw it. It was brand new. Everything was sparkling. We couldn't get over how nice this place was, and the Jets really built themselves a first-class facility. Unfortunately,
they don't have a first-class team.
They didn't have a good team that season, but at least they had nice surroundings. It was very, very tempting to sneak back in and just stretch out in one of those nice lounge chairs in the next to the locker room and put on one of those big TVs and hope for football. The season is not far away, and Philadelphia is hoping to repeat, as you know. We're suddenly seeing Nick Foles making the rounds of all the early morning radio talk shows in Philly. And Nick Foles, being his typically humble self, isn't saying much about Carson Wentz other than he just wants to help the team as much as he can, and he'll do what's needed. Today, the Eagles coach, Jim Peterson, had been rated eighth best coach in the NFL. They never got around to saying to who the other seven better ones were, but I guess Bill Belichick might have been one of them. Additionally, they were talking about Andy Reid at the Chiefs, Houston, Kansas City Chiefs, also being a better coach, but you know, it's going to be an interesting season. Can the Eagles repeat? They haven't lost too many of their players. They will have everybody pretty much gunning for them this year because they are the Super Bowl champs. And you have to wonder if this is now the beginning of the end for the Patriot dynasty in football. One can only hope.
Well,
being a Jets fan.
Yeah, but Brady wants to play for another, 5 years? And talking about that, we're just going to take a few spots now that in my last hour I had problems. There was problems with the board, so I didn't get to play many, and then I played them all at once. So anyway, let's talk about some things from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you...
Okay, Bill, we're back. The sports guys, we still haven't seen John, and he did promise he'd be here, so maybe he will. So let's keep Red Sox Yankees till the end. Again, I think that's a great thing for anybody who has kids who are football fans to be able to go on a tour of either the Jets or the Giants. And yeah, have you ever heard about it in Philadelphia?
You know, I've never been down to the NovaCare Center. We used to go up to Lehigh University to watch the Eagles right. scrimmage up there, and that was really nice because it was a college environment. It was an older stadium, a bunch of older facilities. You could actually get down on the field and mingle with the players. And many times I would go to Lafayette College years and years ago, 30 years ago, to watch the Jets scrimmage with the Redskins, because they always had one scrimmage where they would meet halfway, because the Jets used to train on Long Island when they played in Shea Stadium, and the Redskins were in Reading, Pennsylvania, of all places, to train. And don't ask me why, but I think maybe they were at Albright College, and then after they left there, the Eagles trained at Albright off and on. But going to these training camps and just walking around and seeing how nice the facilities are. Sometimes you get to meet the players, you get your picture taken with them. Everybody's doing selfies these days.
Well, and there's so much that has always gone on in Green Bay around a team. But also the Kansas City Chiefs, they're not doing it any longer. But for years, they did their summer training camp in River Falls, Wisconsin.
Oh, that's really cool.
And, River Falls is a small college community, but they had a lot of fans, that they could be Packer fans and Chief fans at the same time. And, of course, the kids loved it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to be able to play catch with one of your favorite players.
Right. But they did that for years. I don't know why they stopped. And, of course, I've told you about what the Packers have done. You've been at Lambeau Field, and you know that their training facilities across the street.
Yep.
Well, what they traditionally did is the kids in the summer would bring bikes, and one player would kind of adopt one of the kids and would ride that kid's bike over to the other facilities. So these kids, I mean, they would beef up their bikes. So you can imagine, sometimes 250, 275-pound guys, riding these kids' bikes. But that was the thing that, kids were, if they had one of the Packers riding their bikes, they were just so thrilled.
I think that's really cool. It's too bad that more teams don't do that because, kids are really the next generation of fans. And if the leagues were smart, they would find ways to involve the kids, maybe not directly in the game, but in this. The Philadelphia Flyers used to have this kind of raffle or auction where if you were 14 or under, you entered a contest, and they would pick 80 kids out of this fishbowl right before the preseason at the training facility. And if your name got picked out of the fishbowl, you got to sit on the bench during a regular season game.
Oh, wow.
Now, maybe your name got picked out the last week of September, and you had to wait until maybe a end of February game on a Tuesday night, in Philly, where they were playing a team nobody cared about, like, say, Alberta, the Calgary Flames or the Edmonton Oilers, because they were West Conference teams and out of the division. But on the other hand, can you imagine sitting on the bench next to your favorite Flyers and they're playing the Devils or the Rangers or the Pens or the Caps or the Islanders? Boy, that had to be really exciting.
Well, I think
doing that about 15 years ago.
I think for kids it's pretty exciting to do any of that. In fact, I'm sure that two of my grandchildren, one of whom is playing junior hockey now, I'm sure that a lot of that had to do with the fact that they went to all of the hockey games at the University of Wisconsin-River Falls. Our son, their dad, announced the games, and so they were always there. I mean, this was always part of it. And although they're big football fans, I have a feeling that, they're hockey fans, number one, and football is kind of a close number two, if you really ask them, but that was something that they always did and they always got involved in and enjoyed sports. But, hockey became their sport. And, as I said with Michael, pretty amazing that he's, this is going to be his actually third year that he's playing in the juniors. He was young when he graduated from high school, and I think they can play up until they're 21. So
I don't know exactly what the juniors cutoff is. I thought for some reason it was 18 or 19.
No. Maybe I'm using the wrong term. These are kids who graduate from high school.
Right.
So most kids graduate from high school at 18.
Mm-hmm.
So they play, depending if they're 19, they might only be able to play a year or two. But I'm pretty sure that the cutoff, whatever date it is, it's until 21.
I don't know the right answer.
But I mean, the point is,
in Canada, you have high school guys living with host family.
Well, that's what these guys do.
Yeah.
These kids live with a host family in the town. And I know Michael became, now he's changed teams. He was very close to the first host family. And, but these host families have one or two boys rooming with them during the season, and and these are small towns. Remember, the ones I know about are all small towns in the Midwest.
1,000 or 2,000
people. And
right.
and the towns in Canada the same way, but it's a great thing for the kids, you know, after they get out of high school, because they're the ones who most likely are going to play college hockey. And, you know, they get recruited, obviously. So, you know, someone like our grandson Michael was a good student, and, you know, so he hopes to be recruited from one of the good hockey schools.
Well, that's a really exciting thing to get recruited to a good university, like University of North Dakota.
Well, that's the problem.
Came out of, you know, that's a really competitive place. I have heard that Penn State's ice rink, an ice arena, is beautiful. I haven't seen it, but I'm hoping this winter to go catch a game there when I go out and visit my relatives around Christmas time. We've got the ability to get to Penn State about an hour and a half from my in-law's house, and I always think that's going to be a good ride on a weekend, especially when you get into some of these Christmas college tournaments, which can be a lot of fun.
Well, I was hoping more for something like Princeton because it would be close.
Well, it is. You know, Princeton's got the Baker Rink.
Right.
And I think they just built themselves a new one, didn't they?
I think so, because that Baker Rink was not all that great.
Well, remember, Hobey Baker Rink was built before World War I.
Yeah, I know, and it was really not. I mean, I watched hockey games there. I don't think that was as nice as the rink at the University of Wisconsin in River Falls. I mean, it, you know.
Well, I've been on the ice at the Hobey Baker Rink when I was a kid, and also as a young adult. And for a place that's that old, the ice was pretty good. And you know, you got a sense of what college hockey must have been like right after World War One, you know, in the 20s, the 30s,
right.
Where, you know, no helmets, no pads, just stick skates and a lot of blood.
Well, kind of like football at the time. Well, I learned something recently, just the other day. A young man you know, is going to be going to the University of Pittsburgh. And apparently they play in the same stadium that the Steelers play. So that's the college and Steelers stadium.
I didn't know that. I thought Pitt played in their own college stadium and the Steelers played in Three Rivers.
Is it Three Rivers?
What's the Steelers stadium called? I can't remember.
I don't remember. They always change.
For some large company.
Well, it is, and I don't remember which one. I don't think it's Three Rivers. I think it is named after a company.
The Pirates play in Three Rivers.
Okay.
But I saw Pitt host, I think it was Penn State in the stadium. And it was an old college bowl site.
Well, I think they've torn that down, and now they join. I've heard, and I'm not sure this is true, they both play in that stadium. I don't know if it's jointly owned, you know, that's got to be a great stadium for Pittsburgh, to the college, the university, to play in. And I don't know of other. I mean, I think only. Does any other team other than the Jets and the Giants share a stadium?
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think so. I think they're the only ones who do. And, I mean, there have certainly been baseball teams and football teams that shared stadiums. When the Packers played at County Stadium, that was a baseball stadium. So when they played some of their games in Milwaukee, they played at the Braves Stadium, and then it was a Brewers Stadium. And now the Brewers have a huge new stadium out there.
Well, Pat, you're absolutely right. As usual, when it comes to football, the University of Pittsburgh and the Steelers share Heinz Stadium.
Heinz, that's it. I should have known.
Named after the famous ketchup and John Kerry's wife, Teresa Heinz Kerry, otherwise known in the Republican Party as the Ketchup Queen. But moving along from politics back to football, which is where we'd like to be, I think Heinz Field is probably a great place to watch football. Now, I have not been in Pittsburgh all that much. I've changed planes and I've driven through, but I can tell you that the really cool thing is that it's at 100 Art Rooney Avenue in Pittsburgh. That's got to be a real shock for anybody who really likes football. But the really neat thing about Heinz Field is I've heard no bad seats.
Well, you know, that's pretty much Packers. It's you know, there really are not bad seats. I mean, sometimes when you're really low in the end zone, it can be a little bit difficult to see the other end of the field. But I've always been, you know, really felt that I've never had a bad seat. I've had some better seats. The only time I had a bad seat is when I was sitting right where everybody was walking in front of me to go out to get beer. I mean, that was, it looked like it was going to be a great seat. It was right there, but everybody walked right in front of that seat. But other than that, I would like to see a game in Pittsburgh. My sense is that the fans in Pittsburgh are a lot like the fans in Green Bay.
I don't know.
Well, remember, these were working, you know, these were manufacturing communities, working class communities, and I remember the first time that I went to a Giants game. Now, this is many years ago, but all of a sudden, the third quarter, you know, most of the people were leaving.
Oh, yeah.
And that was so shocked to me that any football fan would get up at the beginning of the third quarter to leave. And there were also would be blocks of seats where nobody was sitting. And so it was probably corporate seats that maybe a few people were there, but not that many people were there. So it was a real cultural shock to me to see, at least in the early days when the Giants were playing in the Meadowlands, that, you know, it just didn't seem to be the diehard fans that I was used to.
I went to see my first Giants game in 1961 in Yankee Stadium. I went with my Uncle Jack, who was a huge sports fan and who was hugely disappointed that every time there was a new baby in his family, it was a girl who hated all sports.
wait a minute. That was his fault because he didn't teach her sports.
Either that or it was just having that extra X chromosome. I don't know.
No. Come on. Ooh, we better stop that.
I guess so.
It really depends. If you grow up, there was nothing else to do in the Midwest, but, sports, football, actually golf was very popular. I didn't like it because I thought it was boring.
Well, I always thought golf was tremendously boring. It required too much skill to hit that little ball, whereas I can hit a baseball, I can't hit a golf ball to save my life.
Well, actually, I was a pretty good golfer.
Straight from Iceland, John Manfreda. Good afternoon, John, and welcome back to the land of the free and the home of the warm.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks very much for that warm welcome, Bill. Hi, Pat.
And we saved
the
baseball.
Of course you did.
Let's talk about the Red Sox and the Yankees. The Yankees are hosting the Red Sox in the Bronx, and I understand there's one thing you got to know about the Bronx. They ever build a roller coaster in the Bronx, the people won't scream when a roller coaster goes way up to the top, and they won't scream when a roller coaster goes shooting down to the bottom.
When will they scream, Bill?
They're going to scream their heads off because, having been from the Bronx, the front page of the Daily News says, the New York Post says, "Hell in the Bronx, man punched out on street, and then the crowd picked his pocket."
Is there any truth to the rumor that guy had a Red Sox shirt on?
So, let's hope the Yankees are picking the Red Sox pockets three in a row, because right now the Red Sox are half a game up on them today, aren't they?
They are indeed, Bill, and I think they are one behind in the loss column, but four ahead in the win column.
Right.
You know, it's rare that you get a series in June that has this kind of significance, but you have it because the teams are so close, clearly nobody else's competition in the East, and everybody knows that the six of the last 19 games between the two will take place in late September, the last three games being in Fenway Park, where I was 2 weeks ago with Allison, and Allison was at the game last night to see them pull out in front of the Angels again and hang on to win that game. And Allison, I think, has gone to six games this year, and they've won all six, including two with me. So
yeah, maybe they should start paying her.
Well, unfortunately, she's leaving for Cincinnati on Monday. So perhaps the Reds, I'll contact the Reds and negotiate with the Reds to see if my daughter can be retained by the Reds to promote their best interests. But Bill, anyway, to your point, in my view, this series comes down to three or four things. You've obviously got the starting pitching matchups. Severino is probably the hottest starter right now, and the Yanks might be favored in that game on Sunday because David Price is going to pitch for the Red Sox, and all they're paying him is $270 million, and he has to change his underwear every time he walks out and sees pinstripes. Enough said about that. Let's just say he's not one of the favorite in Boston, but the other matchups pretty well favor the Red Sox in terms of starting pitching. The Yankees still have the bullpen, and one of the things that concerns me is I watched Craig Kimball close both games Wednesday and Thursday. In fact, Wednesday night I think he had a four out save, so he clearly threw a bunch of pitches there. And then he closed again last night, which means he's probably not available tonight because he pitched Wednesday and Thursday. So that really concerns me. The second thing that concerns me is Joe Kelly, who throws about 100 miles an hour, has been wild, walking batters, getting hit, and has not pitched well the past week. So I think unless the Red Sox have a comfortable lead late in the game, Bill, you have a huge advantage for the Yankees, at least tonight, because by Saturday, Kimbrel should be available. Hopefully, Kelly will be rested up, too. And both those guys should be good for Saturday and Sunday. But tonight, I look for a tight game, which will favor the Yankees because of their superior bullpen.
Well, you know, you've got Sabathia pitching tonight against Rodriguez, who pitched I've shut out innings against the Yankees.
Yeah, he's had good luck against the Yankees. And for the Red Sox, you hope to jump on CC, get a lead, and just ride that a bit.
That's right. And then tomorrow, you've got kind of an odd matchup with Sonny Gray, who has been hot and cold. And,
right.
You know, the Yankees pushed back Sabathia's start, so he has an extra day's rest, so he can
right.
play the Red Sox.
Right.
And then you have Luis Severino, who is 12-2 and arguably the hottest pitcher in baseball.
I would say right now he's one of the top two or three pitchers in the game, and healthy and throwing bullets.
Right. And the interesting thing is you got two rookie managers both having good seasons.
Isn't that something?
They're making them look good.
Isn't that something? I agree with that.
And, you know, the Yankees just called up Tyler Austin, so they've got now a right-handed bat.
Yes.
The fight he and Joe Kelly had earlier this season.
Right.
So this ought to be really almost as much fun as Flyers-Pittsburgh.
I think it'll be even more fun than that, Bill. I, you know, with all due respect, I think it is the greatest rivalry in sports. The whole country comes to a halt to watch it. Out west, as you know, you've seen it yourself with me in Vegas. They almost resent the Yankees, Red Sox taking over the country for the weekend. You have Sunday night baseball, etc. And you know, it's a wonderful thing because it puts so much into the sports world, into the economy. You know, as we talk about a lot here, and the folks, our fans know, we talk about the law, we talk about economics, and when you get series like this, Bill, you really have to savor it, enjoy it, because it does so much good for so many people.
Oh,
I mean,
sure
arguably
does.
In the NFL, Pat, I mean, what would you look at the commerce generated by the Packers in middle America, not just in Wisconsin?
Well, absolutely. However, the problem that I see, what does it cost to go to a Yankee game now? I mean, is it, you know, it wasn't as expensive. Now it is so expensive. I think that they're really cutting out a lot of their fans. And if the kids aren't going to baseball games, are they really going to be fans
sure.
as they get older?
Sure.
Now we know, obviously, you know, there's so many more baseball games. But, you know, it is just amazing how much it costs to go to any one of the sporting events.
Well, when I was in Boston 2 weeks ago, it for me and Allison, it ran about $400 to go to that game between the tickets, some parking, and some food that we bought. Mm-hmm. But you're right, Pat. It's $150 to $200 a person to go to Yankee Stadium, wouldn't you say, Bill?
Yeah, just about. And I like to take the boat, the ferry from Weehawken.
And you and I have done that.
And that's a nice ride, and especially if it's a day game, because you get to see the whole New York City skyline.
You do.
That's $30.
You do.
And if you figure a median price seat is $60 to $80, and then you're going to eat something there and have a couple drinks there, you're spending about $150 a person. To $200 a person. So it gets really pricey. You know, certainly these are New York prices and everybody understands that. But even going to a game in I won't call it a small market city, but Philly, you're starting at about $45 for a good seat in the.
And by the way, Bill, do we have our tickets for that? Yes. There's a game coming up in about 2 or 3 weeks that you and I are going to in Philadelphia, right?
It's August 18th.
Is that the Phillies Red Sox?
Yes, it is.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Let's not get... It's a couple more than a few weeks away, let's hope. That's August, the end of summer. August,
I forgot about that. That's, yeah. It is further along than I thought, Pat. You're right.
What we want to do, though, is we want to talk about the cost of going to a ball game. Now, minor league baseball, a lot of fun. Kids get to go to that, too. I like personally going to college football games because, usually they're in some huge stadium and you're rattling around. And
yeah,
you
but
get
some of those tickets
want.
Aren't that cheap. But what is rather inexpensive when you think about it is, you know, Trenton Thunder, Somerset Patriots. Yep. For a kid growing up who went to baseball games to watch baseball, it's a little off. Putting to me to see all of the other stuff that's going on at these games, but the kids love it.
Oh yeah, yeah. And remember, it's, at the end of the day, it's just entertainment.
Bill, you're right. I'm checking the schedule, and the Red Sox are at the Phillies on Wednesday the 15th, which is right before they go to Cleveland to play the Indians. And sandwiched between them is Tampa Bay. And a couple of four Yankee games as well. So it's just an exciting schedule coming up. And you're right, Pat, it's not right around the corner, but it's shaping up to be a season. It's almost a four-team American week. Because let's face it, who's relevant besides...
You've got teams like
Houston
and
Cleveland and the Yankees,
Twins,
Red Sox.
The Twins, all hoping that both the Yankees...
The Twins are pretenders, I think, but...
I think how can they both lose? Because you can't do that in baseball. Somebody's got to win. But what they've got to hope for is that these two teams just beat each other.
And by the way, just somebody mentioned the Minnesota Twins. Do you know what their record is right now?
Nope.
35-42, Bill. There's 7 games under .500. They're not relevant at all.
They're not relevant yet.
How about my Cubs?
The Cubs are actually struggling a little bit at 44-35, and for the talent on that roster and the payroll,
amazing.
That is very bad.
No,
so
I really
there's one team that's won 55 games so far this year, and that team is just north of New York. and it'll be visiting the Bronx tonight. But you know, you look, both teams are playing 660 or better ball. And so is in Houston, basically the same record as the Red Sox. They've got one more loss. But you look around the majors, and there aren't that many 600 baseball teams anymore.
No.
But
no.
Can you imagine going to a game during the day in July or August in Houston? I mean, do they have a dome stadium?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They do?
Yeah, they're
okay.
They're dome.
I was
going to
say,
yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd have more people dying of sunstroke than watching.
Well, the Texas Rangers Stadium is open, though. That's why they played their games at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I used to hate that when I was a kid growing up, when the Red Sox were on the road in Texas at Arlington.
Yeah.
The game didn't start till 9 o'clock Eastern time.
Right.
Because they said
it
was just
too hot
before 8 p.m.
Okay.
East
so
Central.
I didn't realize in Houston they had a...
Houston has a dome.
Yeah, have you ever been there?
Remember the Astro Dome? That was
But there aren't that many baseball teams that have dome stadiums.
That's right.
If you've ever been to Texas in the summer, it's,
it's extremely hot.
Especially Houston.
Yeah, and humid.
Yes. Yeah.
You walk out of your hotel in downtown Houston, and it's like getting hit in the face with a hot, wet sponge.
Well, but at least they don't play baseball outside. I didn't realize that. And,
you know, Houston's
it's amazing anywhere. I mean, can you imagine if, are they playing a game, is the game tomorrow in New York?
Yes.
Day or
that's
at night?
A night game.
Night game, yeah.
What time is that? First pitch is 7:05?
On Saturday night?
That's going to be a hot game.
Because it'll still be in the 90s here. It's supposed to go to 97. Saturday night is a 7:15 game,
right,
Bill.
Remember, the stadium's also right by the East River, so it's going to be humid.
Yeah, it's a 7:15 game, and, of course, 8 o'clock Sunday night baseball as well. So it'll be warm, no question about it. And you've got tonight, as you mentioned, Eddie Rodriguez going against CeCe, and both of those pitchers have had good success against the opposition. I mean, we know what Sabathia has been for the Yankees over the years against the Red Sox in those key games. The Saturday matchup has Chris Sale and Sonny Gray. That's, I think, a significant edge to the Red Sox there. But again, unless they can get a significant lead going into the final couple innings, that the Yankee bullpen will certainly be at an advantage there. And then David Price, I'd like to see his lifetime record against the Yankees. I'm not sure. I'll see if I can pull it up for you, but it's not good.
Detroit, he was a Yankee killer because he
played very well
against the Yankees. So I've got to believe it. Any matchup with Dave Price.
Well, that was that one year, but most of those years he was with Tampa Bay. Remember, David Price was the overall number one draft pick by the, I think, then Devil Rays, now Rays. And over the years, of course, the Yankees have always beaten up on Tampa Bay pretty good. So,
right, but remember, he went to Detroit for a while.
I think he had one season in Detroit, yeah.
Didn't he go from Detroit to Boston?
He did. He did. That is correct. He was a rental for the Tigers. That's right.
But the Detroit.
In fact, I think he was on. He was on the 2013 team that the Red Sox destroyed. I think he was brought in, and that's part of his legacy. He's never won a playoff game.
Yeah.
And they destroyed him in that series.
I can't believe that both of these teams are so loaded.
They're loaded with position players, Bill, but the speculation is still that they've got to add pitching. And as you know, pitching is at a premium. The two names that they're talking about both belong to the New York Mets. And as I like to tease my son-in-law, Ryan, that's about the only two assets they have because I don't think they can give Cespedes away. But DeGrom and Syndergaard are two gems. And the Mets have a problem because you have two pitchers that you can get a boatload of players for. So if you trade them away and you get those good young players, low salary, you can tie them up for a couple of years. Then after you get those young players, you got to go out and look for the pitching again. So a lot of Mets fans are saying, why get rid of the pitching? We know we're done for a year or so, but those guys are still young. We have them under contract for a few years. Let's keep. But it's got to be very tempting because especially the Yankee farm system, they could dangle so much talent. I'll bet you that for DeGrom, the Mets could get three solid players. And that's got to be real tempting. But again, they're not going to trade with the Yankees, just like the Yankees and the Red Sox are never going to trade either, because the fear is even if you think you have a slam dunk trade, you're never going to take the risk that that trade backfires on you and your arch rival for the next 10 years winds up winning because of your stupid trade. So it'll never happen.
But, you know, everybody has to gamble in sports.
Yeah, that's right,
not
Bill.
That. I agree. I think that for those two guys, that would be too much of a gamble.
I think it would be
easier to build. I don't know anything about baseball, but it would seem to me that it's less risky to try to build a team around two or three really good pitchers.
It's no different than the NFL. Who do you build around in the NFL?
The quarterback.
Miss Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine?
You can never have enough good pitching.
Have enough good pitching. And starting quarterback is the beginning and the end in the NFL.
Philadelphia, they're not getting rid of Foles.
No, absolutely not. Certainly not this year, because you don't know when Wentz can come back.
Right. But, I mean, I think that I'm not so sure they would have, even if Wentz could have come back earlier, even if they...
I agree.
Why risk it when they have someone who was
who can step in and win most of the games.
And then go to Super Bowl and win it.
Exactly.
I mean, that's very unusual. Look what happened to the Packers when Aaron Rodgers was out. I mean,
and boy, review, dredge that up again, Pat, for the non-Packer fans. Who was their backup?
Huntley.
Yeah, right. And go back to the one before that that went to Seattle and they got a number one draft pick when they traded him to Seattle, and a third round guy named Wilson beat him out after all in training camp. That was like an incredible win for the Packers, because when he played for Rodgers, they still made it to the playoffs. He did well. He salvaged their season. And then they traded him to the Seahawks and got a number one pick. So that was just a tremendous win for the Packers.
Well, but what it showed me last year is any team who has someone like Foles who will stay, they need to keep him in case the quarterback goes down. I mean, people would laugh at me, but I'm not so sure that they shouldn't have picked up Kaepernick. And I realize
that's a tough one.
Well, I think he certainly would have been better than what they had.
Yeah.
And I know that they had a lot of hope.
Well, here's another good analogy, Pat. Almost the identical situation was found in New England. They let Jimmy Garoppolo go to the 49ers, and everybody knows Brady is only going to play. He keeps saying five more years. I just don't see that's going to happen. I think he's one bad hit away from a wheelchair. And I think, it was a huge rift in the organization that Brady didn't like Garoppolo looking over his shoulder, and he wanted Garoppolo gone. And Belichick wanted to keep him because he knew there's his heir apparent.
And I think he should have kept him.
And they should have kept him. I think it was a very bad move by the Patriots to let Garoppolo go.
Well, I think what Brady was worried about was he looked at what happened with Favre when they had Aaron Rodgers sitting there as a backup.
Correct.
And the Packers did not want to lose Aaron Rodgers, and they knew that they would.
Correct.
Because he had, I think it was he there 5 years or 6 years?
I think he played behind him four full seasons, Pat.
Yeah, and so, that was their concern. Yeah. But you could see where Brady would look at it, hey, look what happened to Favre.
No question. And all of us respond to threats in different ways.
Hey, listen, guys, I think we better say...
Well, let's have a prediction since we're near the end of the show. And again, I apologize to everybody for coming in so late, but there were some significant pressures involved. Bill, give me your take. Let's take it game by game. Tonight, you have a very fair matchup tonight.
Okay. What do you think is going to be?
You have Rodriguez and Sabathia.
Right to be wrong. Okay.
What's your take on tonight's game?
Sabathia gives us six good innings.
Okay.
It's a slugfest. After that, the Yankee bullpen wins out. Tomorrow, the Red Sox will light up Sonny Gray like a cheap Christmas tree. And they're going to have like an 8-2 win.
Okay. And then the rubber game, Bill.
The rubber game, Severino is...
And Price.
And they're going to mow them down on both sides till the late innings. It's going to be 10 o'clock. And the Yankees...
10 o'clock would only be the third inning, Bill.
And you know what? The Yankees are going to win with their typical weapon, the home run.
So you think it's Yankees take 2 out of 3?
I think so. Because okay. The Yankees have a tough series coming up with the resurgent Atlanta Braves next week.
This is true. Well, everyone, we will see. I think the Red Sox will take 2 out of 3, and we'll see what happens, and we'll be here next Friday to report on the series and which of us turned out to be a better prognosticator, Bill.
Well, we'll find out for sure, won't we?
We absolutely will.
Okay. No, that's the game on paper, but unfortunately they play it on
that's
grass.
That's why they play the games. As
okay.
someone once said.
Bye, everyone. I think that we probably won't even get the news before they
take
over.
You going to do the weather report, Pat?
Well, weather this weekend is hot.
Hot.
Good day.